You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
He can show us that you can come into Alcoholics Anonymous and get sober at any age, and life can change. He's excited about his sobriety, and I'm excited for you to meet him. His name is John. Hi, John.
Hi, Lisa.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for, this is a real privilege for me to be on your show.
Well, it's your birthday today, too.
How about that?
And what people don't know, and I didn't know till I talked to you today, is that you described yourself as an incredibly shy person, and here you are talking on the radio.
That's a miracle in the workings.
Isn't that the truth? So, John, welcome. Tell us about you. What brought you to Evansville, Indiana, and sobriety? Anything you want to share?
Well, I was born in Linton, Indiana. I grew up in Bloomington, Indiana. I was exposed to Alcoholics Anonymous at an early age. My aunt was an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic, in and out of the program. My aunt died sober when she was 74. She had 33 years sobriety.
Wow.
She was a real role model for me. I have certain role models that I follow in the program. I stick with the winners. I started drinking at an early age, 15 years old. I had my first blackout when I was 16, right after I had my license. The progression, I didn't recognize the progression in alcohol until later on. I saw my dad drink and the progression he had in his alcoholism. And I didn't really realize until I was a lot older what the progression meant until I was really into it. It's a slow disease, and then when you start going back out and getting sober and back out again, the progression speeds up. I was a beer drinker at first, and then I slowly graduated later on, real later on, to hard booze. I did get into the drug scene in the early 80s, and I've just about seen it all. I went through 7 drug treatment programs. Probably the best thing that ever happened to me was moving into Old Stone 3. That place saved my life. I started going to AA meetings on a regular basis. And I heard the word change mentioned at a meeting. And this alcoholism isn't necessarily about the alcohol or the drugs. It's about the change we have to make in our lives. We have to learn how to change the way we live and the way we think, or it won't work. I do have a sponsor, Robert R. Raley. Hi, Robert. He's been with me for about 6 years.
Why do you have to have a sponsor?
As a guide to tell me what not to do, go through the steps with me. That's a very important aspect of the program, probably the most important. It helps make that change I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to meetings with me. I try to talk to him every day. I do talk to Robert at least 4 times a week. I had to learn to listen to Robert because he tends to run his mouth, and that was a good
sponsors
thing.
Sponsors do that, don't they?
Yeah, they
just,
sure do.
They just run it on us.
I really learned to love Robert. He reminded me a lot of my dad, and he isn't necessarily a hardcore sponsor, but he helped me a whole bunch.
So, John, you'd been introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous through all these programs that you'd been through, and you said you had as many public intox charges as old as you are.
Yeah.
So what finally happened that transformed you and made you want to stay sober?
being around a lot of AA meetings. I'm one of the resident managers at Old Stone 3, and I was put in the position where I had to do it or else. Mm-hmm. I saw situations where people died from this disease, and it made me stop and think. I enjoy my life right now. I enjoy living and everything else about the program. If they came out with a pill right now that cure alcoholism, if we took it, I'd be upset because I wouldn't be able to go to the fellowship and see all my friends. And that's one of the big things I've done. I've made a lot of friends. The fellowship is just really unbelievable.
It's just been there for you, for sure, but
yeah.
You've grabbed it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You took it.
You got to get off your buku and do something. You know, you got to do the work. Stay in the middle of the boat and get involved in the program. And sometimes I fail at that miserably. I take a day or two off. I do have a sponsee, and I've had him for about 4 years now. He's coming up on his fifth anniversary, and he's been super to me. I've learned more from him than he's learned from me, I'm sure.
And you're very active in the fellowship.
Yes,
you don't
I
just
am.
Live there. You're involved with people and with the meetings. What do you think, have you thought in Alcoholics Anonymous what we could do to make it more attractive to people that they, so they don't have to become our age before they quit drinking?
I've found that when I welcome people, be more welcoming to people, stick out that hand and shake people's hands when they first come in. Because if people were like me, I went to my first AA meeting and I felt kind of out of place. Mm-hmm. And if we feel more comfortable in an AA meeting our first time, I think...
be more welcoming of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be
all
kind of
us.
A public relations person for AA.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, make people feel welcome.
You know, you were saying before we started that, you know, you graduated high school, you went on to get into aeronautics and engineering, though, and you were still heavily drinking through all of that. So for several years, you were a functional alcoholic, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
Making a good living,
yeah.
Educated, doing a lot. Where do you think that all turned, now looking back, that you really turned the corner?
I put too much of an emphasis on... the material aspect of life, that was one of the big things in my life. My
achievement,
family, yeah,
money,
achievement,
success.
Worrying about what other people thought of me. I was not there spiritually or emotionally for my family. Those are two big words that I've learned here recently. The spiritual aspect of the program, that's the most important part of the program, I think,
yeah,
for us.
So you were too into the success of life, not spiritual growth.
Yes, yes. It's really the spiritual part that's really helped me a bunch. The third step, that's the turning point for the faith. That's the... principle of the third step, and we have to practice that spirituality every day. You know, during the day go by, I don't do something a little bit, say a prayer or think to myself, you know, get off by myself and take another breath and say
kind
to myself,
regroup.
Say to myself, this isn't so bad after all, you know.
Have some gratitude.
Yeah, gratitude's another important thing. Grateful for what we have, not for what we want.
So, John, you're up there today in your birthday. Can I say your age? You say your age.
58 years young.
58 years young. And do you sometimes feel like because of sobriety you're just starting to live?
Yes, I'm just starting to live. Today's the first day of the rest of my life. You know, that's the way I feel.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm pretty well content. I stay active every day. If I don't have anything planned, I find something to do. A lot of times people come into the club room and say, oh, this is boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can make it as boring as you want, you know.
Yeah, I'm like you. I've never been bored. I don't know. People we run around with aren't bored at all.
It's hard to hit a moving target.
Yeah, and staying productive, as you said, was a key. But, and you had said too, John, and I wonder if this is true with a lot of guys and gals, that that shyness, that crippling feeling of not being able to hold a conversation with someone makes sobriety difficult for some people.
Yeah, I had to get out of myself. I don't know where that happened, but I wasn't a phone person. I wasn't a people person. I can slip back into that real fast on a moment's notice. I was afraid of the telephone. One of my good friends, Dina, helped me a whole bunch conversing on the telephone.
So people can start by phone, learning how to get to know people and talk. That's true.
And once you get going, you look back and say to yourself, why didn't this happen a long time ago, you know? But we can't dwell on the past.
It took what it took.
Yeah.
So through Dina and just through coming around, you were able to start feeling more confident about talking to people?
Yeah.
I think that's key.
Yeah. I stuck my hand out to people, you know, down there at the door, Old Stone, a lot of times, and I didn't know them at them, but that's where that relationship is first,
that
first connected.
Mm-hmm.
And people forget that sometimes, I think. You form a relationship whenever you shake hands with the person, meet them for the first time. A fellow by the name of Willie H. here in Evansville.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Willie.
Talked about relationships to me, and there's five steps of a relationship. The first one is a handshake. That's casual relationships is formed right there. And it's been a good ride for me.
Yes. And you've given it back tenfold.
Well, I don't know about that.
Definitely. Everybody knows they can see John at Old Stone smiling and putting your hand out and buying somebody a cup of coffee.
I really enjoy people coming into the club room down there. I'm there from 9 o'clock in the morning till 5:30 of an evening. And everybody's welcome to come down and talk
What's
to me.
What's the address?
770 East Walnut.
770 East Walnut. Look for John.
Yeah.
And you don't have to think you're an alcoholic to walk in there.
No, you don't.
And talk to somebody or go to a meeting.
No, you don't.
Well, we have to take a break, Tri-State. Don't get away. The conversation is going to get better and better. We will be right back after the break. Well, maybe there's no break yet. Maybe we're going to go through without one today, John. Can you handle that?
Yeah, I can handle that.
Because I didn't hear the commercial. So we'll just stay on.
Okay.
So what kind of things, if people go to an AA meeting, should they expect to hear or see?
They should expect most of the people that have a lot of sobriety have smiles on their faces. Some laughter. We tell stories in AA that the newcomer can't figure out why we're laughing at. We learn to laugh at ourselves. The stories that would make newcomers frown, you know. But the newcomer comes in and sees everybody happy, and they want some of it. It's a transformation that you can't put your finger on. They talk about a white light experience. I never really had one. I'm more of a realist, and it was a gradual thing with me. And I'm not saying that I have it. You know, Jim Christian, I think, said, if you think you've got it, you just lost it.
Yeah.
And I know he was one of your mentors.
Yes, definitely. We can't ever think we're cured.
And another saying you have is, and I think you got that from another one of your mentors, Tony Curl, that said, the monkey's off her back, but the circus is still in town.
That's right. So those little things that you can expect to hear in meetings are so helpful.
Yeah.
I call them the AA bumper stickers.
And this disease is the only disease that will try to convince you that you don't have it.
Yeah.
It's called denial. The treatment programs can point you in the right direction.
In the courts?
The courts.
I know now in AA meetings there's piles of papers to sign from the courts.
Yeah. We see a lot of people with papers need to be signed, and they don't. Some of them stay, and some of them don't. You know,
it's not AA's role to police people.
Yeah, my sponsor Robert is a statistician, or he thinks he is, and the statistics for sobriety are up real high. Whatever you want to call it, the failure rate. And it gets scary once you see the people come and go, you know, and then you read a newspaper article about them passing away or something. And that's how I learned. That's how I learned what not to do, you know.
So, watching the others.
Yeah.
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 When do you think it hit you that you were alcoholic? And was it hard for you to identify yourself as being an alcoholic?
Well, I knew probably after my first blackout that I had a problem because I watched my dad drink.
So you knew the blackout was a sign?
Yeah.
There was trouble?
And that was when I got drunk on Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. Blacked out on a six-pack, 16 years
Pabst
old.
Pabst Blue Ribbon. Do they still sell that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Goodness. That's way back.
But I used to see my dad, and I thought to myself, I'm never going to be like that. Mm-hmm. And the cunning, baffling, powerful part of this program is, I did end up, being an alcoholic.
Was that hard for you to admit and accept?
It wasn't hard for me to admit. Another big word that I learned was acceptance. Mm-hmm. They have a publication out St. Mindrad's called Acceptance, and that one little publication helped me a whole bunch. I've got to accept this disease that I'll have it for the rest of my life, and I think Rudy H. had a saying about you're never cured until you've been dead 3 days.
Think accepting that you had this disease, this illness, whatever people want to call it, alcoholism, was the key for you?
Accepting that it was going to be
forever. And that you'd have to treat it forever.
Yeah.
You think that's what trips some people up? They think there's a quick cure.
I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
They come into AA and they think they're cured.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you're right.
A year later, they're back in there, you know.
They stop coming to meetings.
Yeah.
They stop calling people.
Yeah. And that digs a deeper hole. I do know it did for me. You keep getting in a deeper hole whenever you go back out. And it's really cunning, baffling, and powerful, like they say. The stigma is a little bit looser than it was when my aunt went into AA.
That's true, yeah.
But there still is a little stigma. I don't worry about what people think. I just lead by example. Mm-hmm. I try to lead by example. That's another thing I try to do, or we have to do in AA, is show the newcomer that it does work and show a good example for the younger people, you know. And sometimes I fail at that miserably, but I get back on the horse and ride it.
Well, I think going to discussion meetings or speaker meetings, people hear that you can get comfortable in sobriety. You were saying that you had to get comfortable in sobriety, that you tripped up even trying to talk to somebody. You think that is something
That's another thing.
People just don't get comfortable yet.
They don't get comfortable. They get disappointed.
Yeah, frustrated.
It's that roller coaster ride. We're still going to have our lows, but they're a lot better than they used to be.
Yeah.
How do they stay at Lisa? My best
Your highs.
Day sober. My worst day sober is better than my best day drunk.
Right.
And being a newcomer, or being a teenager today is...
That's uncomfortable just in itself.
When I was a teenager, the competition, peer pressure was a whole lot different than it is today. And I really feel for the younger generation. Mm-hmm. That's why I admire your work with the Youth First group you do. And that's an awesome group.
Yeah, aren't they fun?
Yeah.
And you just hope you plant some seeds.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to get into that youth culture and convince them they need to come to AA meetings for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
It's hard at 58 to think you have to come to AA meetings the rest
really
of
your life. It is sometimes.
Yeah.
But I persevere. The principle of the 10th step is perseverance.
Yes. Do you think perseverance is probably one of the key things?
It is.
Determines success in sobriety?
Stick with it. That's a big key for me, being able to stick with it.
Stick with it long enough till you get comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
How long did it take you to have to get comfortable in sobriety?
Well, I went to my first AA meeting in 83, so figured up I moved into Old Stone in 2003, and I think a year later I finally started feeling comfortable. Somewhat.
So it may take a year.
Yeah, it grows. It's a gradual progression.
Yeah, you're right. Sobriety's progressive too, just like alcoholism.
Yeah.
But that perseverance, you kept coming back. What made you keep coming back, even though you were uncomfortable?
Knowing that I could step outside, do the wrong thing, and die the next day.
Was seeing other people happy and joyous and free?
Yeah,
helpful?
That helped too. That helped too.
Yeah.
I did, before when I went to meetings, I had other agendas to come to meetings, sometimes women.
yeah.
We do, but when you get focused on what the agenda really is, everything else kind of falls into place. I have fun today. I really do. I enjoy my life. Enjoy the food in my refrigerator, like Willie H. says, you know.
You can taste the food today.
I'm functional. I don't have to wake up with a hangover.
Yeah. That in itself is a plus, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. We get to go to functions in Alcoholics Anonymous.
You mean there's fun in AA?
Yeah, we have
fun. There's fun after sobriety?
We have picnics. We have dances. We have speaker meetings. The Old Stone Club is having a he said, she said dinner Saturday, September 19th. And it's a carry-in dinner. It starts at 5 o'clock. Coffee, tea, and lemonade will be provided, and the speakers start at 6, and there will be a half pot.
So what's a he said, she said? What's that mean?
It's an Al-Anon and an alcoholic. Usually a husband and wife get up there and speak. We do hold Al-Anon meetings at Old Stone 3, too, and I have the greatest respect for the Al-Anons because they helped me a few years ago.
Can somebody come to Al-Anon, maybe explain what Al-Anon is?
Yeah.
That Al-Anon is for the spouse or for the adult child of the alcoholic, so they can get support too.
It's the family of an alcoholic needs help just as much as the alcoholic does.
So can the Al-Anon person, can a family member come to Al-Anon even if their alcoholic doesn't want to get sober?
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
Yes, they can, definitely. They've got a big, good support group.
So this he said, she said could be for AA or Al-Anon and Al-Anon to come here. When is it again, John?
It is Saturday, September 19th at 5 o'clock.
At the Old Stone.
Old Stone.
And free.
Free. It's
everything
free.
In AA is free. A buck or two in the collection basket to pay for coffee. But there's no membership fees in Alcoholics Anonymous. Anything else going on at Old Stone we should know about?
We have a bingo and chili supper on Saturday, October 24th at 5:30 p.m. to question marks. And chili is $2 a bowl. And
that bingo's awesome.
Yeah. The bingo starts at 6:30, and the regular 7:30 meeting will be in the Al-Anon room. We have four rooms.
And bingo is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It really is. We have a lot of fun, a lot of laughter and companionship.
And you were saying that was key for you and your sobriety, to have
really
companionship,
is.
Laughter.
I have people around me, you know. I need the people.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, Old Stone is just one of the clubs in Evansville, definitely, that has a lot going on. Say again, so people know how they can get a hold of you at Old Stone, maybe the phone number and the address again, John.
My phone number is 422-0975, and we are located at 770 East Walnut. The cross street is Evans.
And Walnut and Evans. Okay.
Right between Work One and Johnstone Supply on the same side of the street.
And does it say Alcoholics Anonymous over the club?
No, it doesn't.
So it's just a building right there on Walnut and Evans. Okay.
We're listed in the phone book as No Names Anonymous.
Names Anonymous. Yeah. Okay. And when are the meetings there?
We have meetings throughout the week. The main ones are at noon, 5:30, and 7:30.
So anybody that needs a meeting can find one at Old Stone any day. Okay.
Yeah. We have schedules there, anything you want, book material, big books, 12 and 12s, daily reflections. You can come in the club room and I'll give you a meeting schedule for the tri-state area, Boonville, Evansville, Mount Vernon, Newburgh.
Boonville, Princeton, all?
Yeah.
So if you all want to get to a meeting or just check one out, you can go to Old Stone anytime and ask for John. John, I think we have a caller. I heard the phone ring. Hold on a second. Let's see if we got a caller. Hello? Is there a caller? Is there a caller? Hello? I don't know what's going on up there. We'll just keep rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
So at Old Stone, any time during a day, somebody can come and ask for John.
Yeah, and if I'm not in the club room, I'm around walking down the hall, setting coffee up for the meeting somewhere. So, you know, just holler out my name, and I'm there.
Everybody knows John. John, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Wow. You look great.
Thank you.
And I know you love your sobriety, and those around you know you love your sobriety and love your AA.
I really do.
Thanks for coming on Labor Day weekend on your birthday to share your experience, strength, and hope.
Well, thanks for having me, Lisa. This is a real privilege for me to be on your show.
Oh, it's a privilege to have this show, and it's a privilege to be able to share our experience, strength, and hope.
Yeah.
Well, for you all that have been listening today, thank you. We will be back next Saturday, but between now and then, don't forget to do the next right thing. And if you want to hear John on the World Wide Web, you can go to www.lisaseifcares.net, hit podcast, and you'll be able to hear his interview again. Thanks so much for listening and supporting our show. And again, we'll see you next Saturday. Till then, do the next right thing.
Hit me. You're live in the den with Big Tigger.